One of the things I love about coaching is helping people deal with tricky situations and, in particular, tricky conversations. You call those difficult conversations, crucial conversations, tough conversations, whatever. There's different ways you can frame it. But where there's high emotion and high stakes. And I think one of the reasons why I love that so much is that I personally find it an area that's quite challenging. I've got a natural conflict aversion, and so I've had to work really hard to find methods that help me to not procrastinate difficult conversations and to then hold them in such a way that is helpful. I remember years ago, for example, having a conversation where I was physically shaking. I can look down at my hands now. I can see them, kind of replay that out. It was a very emotional conversation, but I physically was shaking with the emotion that was running through my body on that day, which I hadn't properly managed before going into that conversation. So what I want to share with you today is a little clip from one of the episodes that we've had. This is one of our bite-sized episodes of the After Dinner Leadership podcast. I want to take you back to a previous episode, share with you a few coaching questions, and also then a couple of tips that I think may be helpful as you prepare to have, whether it's a tricky conversation, a tough conversation. And a key word that I've written on the board behind me here is the word intent. We're going to take a look at that. In fact, episode 19 of the After Dinner Leadership podcast was called Intent Counts More Than Technique. And I spoke with a leader that I admire, a guy called Chris Molnar. He's based in the States, and I'd seen him operate a number of times. And one of the lessons that he had shared with me is a lesson which he wished he'd learned earlier, was associated with learning how to have difficult conversations, the important role as a leader or manager to do that. And I want to share with you a short clip from that episode 19 about his perspective on this.
Well, it took me a long time to focus on the right thing. So I think earlier in my career, and again, even relatively recently, you know, you tend to think about how this might impact the other person, like the negative impacts. How am I going to hurt them? And then I think also human nature, we like to avoid confrontation. We like to avoid, like, we want peace, right, in our relationships and with people. And it just took a long time to start to think in terms of, no, this conversation is not about, yeah, I'm going to hurt them maybe in some sense, but it's really more about helping them, right? And in a work environment, sometimes, let's say you have someone who's not performing well, they're not meeting their objectives. You react with, I don't want to cause harm in that they're not good enough or they're not capable, et cetera. And so what grew over time was understanding, no, they want to hear this feedback, even if it's difficult, because without knowing maybe how they're missing the mark or what goals they're not achieving, or maybe have recommendations on how to get there, that's how they're going to get better. That's how they're going to grow as a person, yeah, and as an employee. And so it's just that mindset, right, of yourself. Of saying that's what's important here is and when you've had those conversations under that mindset as a crone, you know, as a leader, you kind of walk out of this feeling pretty good about the conversation, and so does the other person.
Yeah,
it's very rare to have where things come to blows or whatever you call it. You know, it's more once you get through it and it's on the table, then it is a very constructive, you know, conversation about them and also not just growing as a person for them or what their maybe, you know, gaps are, but also perception. Perception is reality. And sometimes I might go into a conversation not realizing all the details or the information or understanding it. My perception is wrong, right? And so that's another facet of this, right? Is if you don't open those conversations and have those conversations, then in your mind, you know, you start to stew over it. Again, then come in the ill intent, the negative intent you're assuming that they have, which they don't. It could lead to gossip in the workplace, which is just detrimental. So just a lot of ramifications for not having open and honest conversations.
I love this idea that the intent is to help, not to harm. And thank you, Chris, for sharing your wisdom there. I want to share with you a few coaching questions, self-coaching questions that perhaps you're preparing to have a conversation with someone that you're a little bit apprehensive about, or perhaps you've put off a conversation with someone that really needs to be had. There are many questions we could ask. I'm going to ask you three questions here that I hope will help in your preparations, your mental preparations. The first one, what do you really want from this conversation? There's that word really again. pause, think about it. What do you really want from this conversation? Second question, what do you really want for them? What do you really want for them? And then the third question, what could happen if you don't have this conversation? What could happen if you don't have this conversation? Play that out. In my experience, a lot of these conversations will get bigger and harder, more tough to tackle just 2 or 3 weeks down the road. So that's one implication to consider. I put it off now, but actually it's probably a harder conversation to have in the future. I'd like to wrap up with a few suggestions that could be helpful to you as you prepare for having a crucial conversation where there's high emotion and high stakes. The first one, talk it out. I find that so useful to go to a trusted friend or a coach and just speak out what I'm concerned about. Often in those conversations that I find an opportunity to realize, actually, there's more to this than I originally thought. Escape the echo chamber of your own thinking and get it out of your head and start thinking, get different perspectives. Usually helps a lot. The second is to then think about and then rehearse that opening line. Practice out loud, just the opening couple of lines, just so you can hear yourself set the scene, frame the conversation, deliver, you know, the tough message, however you want to approach it. You know, actually practice that out loud rather than just in your head or writing it down. Hear the words. It makes a massive difference for you to include or exclude certain phraseology. And then the third one is start the conversation. You know, set an appointment or make the call and then just get into it. Make sure your intent is anchored in the right place, thinking about the questions we've just asked. You know, come back to that intent being in the right place and then just go into the conversation and you'll learn something in the process. I'm not encouraging you to be reckless, but to be courageous. You know, be courageous, lean into the honest parts of the conversation. I trust that's of some use, dipping in. If you want to find a little bit more detail, then please listen to the full episode. Chris goes on to talk a lot more detail about his experience associated with difficult conversations. And the co-host I had that day was a police constable, Megan, who also has some perspective on what it's like having those conversations when you're patrolling on the beat. Take a listen and please feel free to share this episode with someone who you think would benefit from it. Maybe they're preparing for a difficult conversation and this little reminder would help them a lot. Thanks a lot for listening.